listen. Do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, so all, I guess the rich people were kind of put off by these pervy dolphins.
How dare you?
I know, it's not appropriate at all.
They need one-way glass.
Which way? Which way?
You know which way.
Gross. Hello, and Elbow?
Elbow.
And Elbow to Kiss and Tellcast, episode 25. Mari, in the last few minutes, that's like the 10th word I've used totally incorrectly.
Have you seen Being Elmo?
No, I haven't. Does he use words incorrectly?
No, but Elbow Elmo.
Is that what it is?
It's a pretty good one.
I feel like maybe like my phone's autocorrect is taken over my life, and now just completely arbitrary wrong words will come out of
me. Virus.
I probably have an Evi.
You need a software update.
I probably do.
Firmware.
I definitely do. I definitely need a firmware update. Mm-hmm. This is episode 25, and I'm back in Seattle because I always end up back here. Because Mari doesn't go anywhere, so if you want to see Mari, you've got to come here to see him.
The world revolves around me.
He really does. He really does? Is the world a man?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I know the no, it's...
You okay? You want some water?
It's out of reach. Anyways, it's been a couple weeks. We got some secrets. We have some strange trends in among the secrets. We've got some strange people to talk to and maybe give advice to, or maybe just quietly reflect over what they've told us. So is that it, Mari? We're just going to jump right in?
We can jump in. Sure. Okay. Okay, can I say that maybe your problem is that you haven't been talking to people?
I have not really been talking to anyone for a month.
Yeah, because that happens to me.
I have mouth problems.
Okay.
Nothing comes out. I've been typing. I could type a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
No problem. I'll just type it away.
That's something different, though.
Could you draw a podcast for me?
Maybe.
Okay, here we go.
Jumping in. That was a long jump.
Good grief.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Mari. I really want to get this off my chest. I'm 18, and I recently got my first boyfriend, and along with my first kiss. I felt like I ruined it because I didn't kiss him back because ... I don't know how to kiss? Question mark? It's been kind of eating at me, but I don't really know how to get over it. Womp. And then a face that I don't know how to explain.
Yeah, I think it's crying.
It's crying, and the tear is like way down by the mouth.
Yeah, it's really running down. Mariah, are you a good kisser?
I think so. I think I'm a pretty good kisser.
Have you always felt that way? Or do you think you were born a good kisser?
I don't know. I never felt that. Okay.
Is anybody a natural, or do you think everybody's like has to get better at it?
Okay. When I was 12, I wasn't a good kisser. My first French kiss, which I think was my first kiss, was on the back of a bus on a dare.
Age 12?
Age 12, I think.
Okay.
Sixth grade. 12. God, some of my kids are 12.
Gross.
Ugh. And it was just two tongues like slowly coming together and then like touching and then like jerking away.
I remember like my first makeout kiss, like more than just kiss, but like really, you know, intentional makeout.
Yeah.
And I don't know, for what I feel like maybe it's because she was, I think it was like one of her first makeouts too, if not her first and my first makeout. And so I think we both didn't. Maybe it was okay because we both didn't know what we were doing, but we were both kind of just went for it. And we were like, it was intense tongue, like crazy tongue.
Yeah.
But I feel like as I got older, for whatever reason, it was never conscious, or maybe it's just the people. Like, everybody kisses a little different. Everybody has a different opinion of how you kiss, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people see it in movies. Like, it's weird. If you watch an old movie like Casablanca, it's like they turn their head sideways and open their mouths and just put their heads together in the weirdest way.
Like a big old kiss.
I've never understood quite the mechanics of that old movie sideways open mouth thing. I guess their tongues are in there, and that's a thing that you're just not supposed to quite understand as a viewer.
Yeah, kisses are real hard to draw, too.
They're weird. And so my impression was that that's what you did. Like, you had to get in there with your tongue and fill it around.
You have to each come in at the right.
And I don't know what changed it. I think it may have been, I really like lips, and I like girls with full lips.
Okay.
And I think that later in life, especially like later in life, kissing girls with full lips, like my focus shifted to where my focus was less about French kissing and tongue in the mouth and more about like lips interacting. But And so, but I guess I wasn't, you know, that's just, I did what came naturally and whatever. But the weirdest, I had sort of a weird experience that was kind of along these lines, but it wasn't my first kiss. It was like 10 or 12 years into my kissing career that someone that I'd been involved with for quite a while, and like actually even towards the end, and maybe that's why it came out, but like came out with like a kiss critique almost.
Oh, really?
Oh, but yeah.
How old are you? When was this?
It was a few years ago. It was like 28 or something, but 29, but it wasn't, or 29. And it wasn't like, I don't know. It wasn't, I think it came up because we did end up like making out, like more making out, and that would just more tongue way. And that made her comment on it that I didn't kiss that way.
It's not like a peck on the cheek before you go to work thing.
Yeah. But it wasn't, well, or it wasn't like my go-to makeout, which was very lip based. It was more like a tongue based makeout. Which I think was maybe her conception of it, and somehow I had like been stepping on her feet in the dance that is a kiss. But I was really thrown off like that because it was like I felt like I was 20 years old and I was kissing wrong.
If someone told me I wasn't a good kisser, I'd probably freak out.
Yeah, and it wasn't. She really was nice about it, and it wasn't really that she was saying I was a bad kisser. It was just saying that, like,
why would you say that to someone?
Well, I think what she was trying to do is say, like, express that she liked the way we had just done it, because we had like it had been more like a tongue make out thing, and she had like commented that we didn't normally do that. I think it wasn't like it wasn't necessarily an attack. I think it was more like she was just saying that she liked that, you know what I mean?
That's weird. Okay,
but it did make me kind of self-conscious, like, have I been kissing her wrong this whole time? Like, have I been kissing just all about lips and she's been thinking I'm an idiot? So I don't know. Anyway, the point of the story is everybody has different opinions on that, and I think there's two ways to do it, and I think this is the trick that applies to all kinds of physical intimacy is you got to do what you like,
yes,
at least part of the time, one, because you like to do it, but also to communicate that that's what you like, and then part of the time, whatever the other person's doing, if they're keeping up their end of that bargain, you should do what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like sometimes you're like making sure to say, this is what I like, and I'm communicating that, but I'm also aware of what you're doing. And I think if both people come with that approach, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
So, well,
that's exactly what I
like. Yeah. So do that. So I think that maybe not kissing back, it sounds really sad. Like this email sounds kind of sad. Like she was just standing there horrified. Like she thought if she didn't move, he would go away like a Jurassic Park thing or something. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, oh gosh, first boyfriend, first kiss.
I'm sure you're fine by now. I'm sure it's totally going to be fine.
It sounds like a bear attack, you know?
Like he was just drooling all over your face. I think it's okay. You're going to be fine. Of course you're going to be fine. But do be aware that different people have different opinions of what is a good kiss. And there's no gold standard of kissing, as it turns out.
Yeah. People are different.
People are different. They like different things. I really like lips.
Should this person communicate to her boyfriend? Well, that's kind of answering my own question. They should probably say that was like my first kiss. Sorry, I didn't reciprocate.
That's something that's so hard to say when you're young.
Yeah.
But like that kind of
stuff. But it's also because they don't hear that kind of thing enough.
It's good practice. I agree. I think you should say that, like, you know, I'm sorry if I didn't kiss you very well. Another little bit of advice for this kind of thing. If you are uncomfortable about something, I feel like a way that you can work your way around it is to make it into kind of a game.
Yeah.
Like you could make it into some kind of game, like I'll kiss you and then you kiss me or something like that. You know, like that way they can find what they like.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, cause just talking, like just coming out and saying, I don't know how to kiss. It might be an uncomfortable, not sexy thing. But if you can play something like, make it, spin it more like, I want to get better at kissing you. And then you make it into like a sexy thing. Try that. Give it a whirl.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah.
Anything else? This person said womp, which womp. I always like to hear.
I don't know why people say that.
I don't know. I feel like it was 15-year-old girl so long ago.
What is the etymology of the word
womp? I think it's the sad trombone.
Womp. I guess so.
Womp, yeah, womp, sort womp, of womp. It's like an abbreviated onomatopoeia.
Onawompapia.
Onawompapia.
Okay. Next secret. Between lying about which films and books I've watched and read and reading too many Wikipedia articles, I can't even remember what I've actually seen anymore.
Well, do you have any thoughts on this, Murray? You went to the library today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's like books that I don't remember if I had read them. I have opinions about these books, but I don't really remember if I read them, and I look through and I haven't. And then I wonder why I think these things. And
it's tricky. I have So I've kind of struggled, not necessarily the lying part, but I've struggled with this.
So hard.
With this in particular. So part, I think I've talked about this before, but for whatever reason, like part of my creative process is going through periods of making things and then going through periods of just like rabidly consuming things.
That's a lot of people.
I think it's totally normal, but I'll read a ton of books at once.
Yeah. Look at my stack.
Yeah. Look at that stack. So I'll read a ton of novels at once, but sometimes they blur together. It's hard to remember. I'll watch a ton of movies at once. Right. And so, that's a problem on its own, just like keeping up track of what you've read and what you haven't read and seen what you haven't read. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the problem of like, I really like this one part of it. So for a while I was marking them with sticky notes. Now I've been reading eBooks so you can highlight them. Like, you know, it's just hard. But this stuck out to me because something I did for years, for probably, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years was every time I finished a book or every time I watched a movie, I kept a list.
Mm-hmm. And you've stopped?
And then I stopped when I stopped everything in 2008, when I just stopped doing anything except lying on Mari's bed.
Okay. All right.
And, but then I couldn't start again. And I deleted them because I couldn't, because I was like, I can't handle this list being incomplete and having a gap and all, like it was just kind of an all or nothing thing. And I had to just get rid of it.
It's okay to have some lost years.
Well, and what I've also, but that was, I don't know. Now I just try to like, I have still kept my journal the whole time, so at least I try to just put in, like, this is what I'm reading or this is what I watched or
whatever. But do you, like, enjoy them more now that you've, like, kind of let go of that?
I've tried to let go of books as trophies in a lot of ways, like not owning books and not having them on my shelf or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think it's – I don't know. The thing I hate most about ebooks is only that I can't give them to somebody after I finish them, because that's the one thing I really liked about paper books.
You totally can give them, though. You can let people borrow ebooks.
Not the ones that you buy, really?
On Amazon, you can, I think.
Oh, I couldn't figure out a way to do that. Maybe it was just Apple iBooks, but it wouldn't.
It's not like universal, but they've.
Really?
That's an interesting concept.
I think it, I don't know, because I really, that's the one of the biggest things I like about books is like to get them and then give them to somebody else.
That's true. But that can also feed into like the books as trophies thing. Like you don't have to keep the book. You can give it away. I've given away plenty of books.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. I want to give them away. I don't want any books. Yeah. I want to like read a good book.
So you have this like stack of eBooks essentially.
Yeah. And another thing I'm finding now that I'm a little older is that I don't mind, like I've been rereading some books.
Yeah.
Normally I hate rereading things and rewatching things because it makes me feel like I should be investing that time in another way.
But okay. What do you,
But like now I'm finding that books that I read when I was 22 are just different books at 32.
Right.
Like they're just totally different.
Yeah. Every time I watch You've Got Mail, it's different. I notice.
You stopped watching that.
You never stop watching You've Got Mail. I haven't watched it in a while, but like, you know, you get that little itch and then I start watching it and maybe I'll fall asleep or I'll do something else.
What about the lying thing? What about the lying about I've watched? Because I feel like that's one of those accidental casual lies that...
Sometimes.
I tried hard not to lie, but sometimes before I even know what I'm saying, like if someone says, have you seen, I'll say yes. And then have to backtrack and say, wait, no, I haven't seen that. I don't know.
That's okay. That's fine.
But it's weird. Isn't that, I feel like that's a very common lie.
That hasn't happened to me in a long time. But, if you're lying on purpose, that's not really good. It's not necessarily like evil.
It's weird.
It's weird.
But representing that you read a book when you've read the Wikipedia article is kind of weird.
Right.
And I love Wikipedia.
Okay, that's different. That's like you've tricked yourself somehow into believing you've read it.
That's okay. The other thing that this reminds me of that is kind of weird is that weird phenomenon of people that haven't seen something, but they like are so culturally aware of it, it's almost like they've seen
it. Osmosis.
Well, it's like, I think we even talked about it before, but it's like the, are you looking at me scene in Taxi Driver? No one has seen Taxi Driver, everyone has seen...
Right? When you were about to say Taxi Driver, I was like, Goodfellas? Godfather?
Yeah, Goodfellas or Godfather. I feel like those are more commonly seen, though, than Taxi Driver. Like,
no. People have seen that movie. I have not seen that movie, though. But yeah,
I haven't seen Taxi Driver, but I feel like I know it because I've seen that scene reenacted in a billion ways.
Well, exactly. So I've seen it somehow.
I know. It's weird.
A recreation of it.
Anyways, this is probably not really a real problem, but I can see how it's weird. The lying thing is kind of weird, and it's kind of a weird secret because, unfortunately, it's one of those things that you can accidentally kind of slide into.
Yeah.
Like, then you can't ever backtrack, and you have to, like, go secretly read it.
I guess. Or you just read. I mean, you maybe this person has a lot of like book reports or something, and they just like, oh yeah, I read that.
And you know, another thing. Almost, I feel like it's in a weird way. It's more about the person who they're interacting with. Because in some, I don't know, I feel like there's a kind of semi-insufferable person, or at least in that realm where they'll, you have a person that is like, oh, you haven't read that.
I hate those people.
You know, and maybe.
But that's also me.
But maybe those are the people that kind of bring out this kind of behavior. Like bring out the, yeah, I read it. Just don't.
Just, yeah, leave me alone.
Just don't.
I read it.
Be the, oh, you haven't read guy.
Yeah.
Please don't be that guy.
Yeah. No one be that person.
Yeah, please
should always be like a, you know, positive beacon of light
and
try
really,
to share things.
That is exactly true. And that is such a moment. There's so many moments like this, Murray, mm-hmm. where your attitude at that moment is so flexible, but so different in its possibilities. Mm-hmm. You could on one hand be the, oh, you haven't read guy.
Mm-hmm.
When on the other end, you can be like, oh, that's awesome because I think you'll really like this. You know,
and then that person gets to watch it or read it for the first time.
I think there was an XKCD about that, actually. That was like, instead of being a jerk about something like that, to be like, oh, that's awesome because, you know, in one way, if it's something you really like, you could be like, oh, really? I remember how excited I was when I saw this the first time. Yeah. And now you can look at it and maybe you'll really like it too. I don't know. I want people... I tend to feel like I'm in the opposite camp. Like I don't want someone to have read something so I can be the one to tell them, especially about wizard people. Like I just always want to be the one to tell people about wizard people. I don't want people to know about it.
I have bad luck about that though. Every time I try to introduce someone to wizard people or something like that, it just falls on its head.
It's sad. It's hard. It's hard. You can't, I know, it's tricky.
It has to be the right audience.
They had to be ready for it in their life.
So I tried to show it to someone and they got mad. They got mad at me and said, why aren't we doing something? And he ran out of the room. Then you think he'd climbed a tree or something.
I feel like I've really tried to get away from showing people things like that. Like, hey, I want you to hear this song where you awkwardly both just sit there and listen to a song looking at
each
other.
I did that with the whole movie.
I don't like, because then the whole time you're worried about if they like it and all that. I think it's better to be like, here's a copy of this movie. Please watch it at your leisure.
Okay, but with the movie, I wanted to watch it kind of, and then, you know.
Well, that's if you really wanted to watch, if it's more about you wanting to watch it than wanting to show it, then maybe that's.
Yeah, it was okay. This is kind of weird.
Okay. I don't know. We talked a lot about this.
I think it's over. We're done with this one.
We're done with this one.
Once when I was a kid, I got home from school and peed into a glass from the kitchen to see what it looked like.
This is called science, Murray. And when you're young and you're a scientist, you conduct experiments.
Yes.
And
so did they have like a glass of water? Yeah, a glass of water next to the glass of pee and like compared them?
I don't know if it's explicitly outlined in the scientific method that if you're going to pee in a glass, that you take the glass to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Instead of peeing in it in the kitchen?
I think they peed in the kitchen.
No, they clearly peed in the kitchen. But then you have a glass full of pee. So what did you do with the glass full of pee?
I don't know.
Did you put it in the refrigerator labeled apple juice like in Little Munsters?
Is that what happened? Little Munsters?
Is that what it's called? What's it called? Little Monsters.
Little Monsters? What is? Oh, is that the Howie
Mandel and is it Fred Savage?
It's probably.
Yeah,
No, the Fred Savage one. That's with. Wait, it's Howie and Fred and he's an imaginary friend.
No, that's different.
What's that one?
That's not...
Is it Little Monsters?
Little Monsters is the monster. He lives under the bed, I think. And and Fred can see him and they pee and they're bullies.
And it's an imaginary friend and they go like under the bed. And
Yeah, I think so.
And then at the end of the movie...
The bully drinks pee.
Is that the same? Okay, anyway. Yes, that's exactly what happened with this person.
Okay, so there was a monster. So, Mari...
Yeah.
Do you remember any experiments like this? Have you peed in anything to examine your urine? I've peed in a lot of bottles.
I haven't peed in anything, really.
A scientific.
I don't know. I feel like when you're drunk, you just pee on stuff.
You do pee on stuff.
Being drunk is kind of like being a kid.
Inversely, being a kid is kind of like being a drunk. My friend Micah developed this amazing hobby. Like we were at a party and there were lots of families with kids and she leaned over to me. We were watching the kids and it was kind of funny. And she said, pretend that they're drunk. And then watching all of the kids was amazing because they're stumbling around. They're spilling juice on each other. They're falling around. So if you're ever around really little kids, especially toddler age, like they've just learned to walk, just pretend they're drunk. And it's funny as hell, especially when they get tired. and they start to kind of tip over and pass out. It really makes spending time with children adds a new dimension to it.
I don't know what it is about kids right now with me. I don't know if my clock's ticking.
Do you want kids? Even after being around the horrible kids?
I don't think I want kids, or I don't think I want to have a kid, but I just really just want to spend time with them.
Do you teach some? Are they too old?
Oh, they're too old. They're definitely too old. I want to, but maybe that's part of it. I want to see some of them grow up. Like, there's this one girl, Mia, who's she's 8. She's so smart. And she was in a play that I watched because they had the play during after school programs for whatever reason. And she was the best. And she had this fake English accent. And she did a little, they all did a dance.
But hers is the best dance?
Hers is the best dance. She's so good. She's so smart.
Can you adopt her?
I can't adopt her. Probably not. But she was telling me about the books she reads, because of course she's a bookworm. And I was like, oh, what do you like to read? And she said, oh, it's probably nothing you've ever heard of. And then she told me some of the books. I was like, I've never heard of any of these books. So I got a book from the library. one of the books from the library.
Wait, and she a little hipster 8-year-old that said, you've probably never heard of it.
She's got a chip on her shoulder a little bit. She's too smart.
That's cute when you're an 8-year-old girl, I think. Man. There's probably not a lot of other times in life.
She acts like she's 14, though, at least. But I got the book out of the library, and I haven't finished it yet.
Is it too big for you?
No, I don't know. It's okay. It's interesting, but I'd rather read something else.
So back to peeing.
Okay.
I don't know, Mariah. I did lots of experiments, and I feel like my urine-based experiments didn't go much beyond, you always want to pee, if somebody has a 2000 flushes blue, you always want to, carefully observe how it turns green, which I feel like is the only reason that those things are blue, right? Toilet cleaners could easily be clear. They're just blue, so they turn green when you pee on them.
Is that why?
Come on. Why else?
But, blue, it just looks cool.
It looks like pretty water, blue ocean water.
No,
I think
not really,
the only other time I remember was I took, very vaguely remember taking some kind of antibiotic or something like that that made my pee orange.
Oh my God.
And I do remember, I don't remember. I was maybe 8, 9 years old. Mm-hmm. I vaguely remember taking that, maybe even younger. And I'm pretty sure I peed in the bathtub just so I could really watch the orange happen. Not even water in the bathtub, just standing pee in the bathtub just to really.
No water was running? You just.
I think I stood. It's so hard to remember, but I have a vague impression of me just peeing in an empty bathtub just to look at the orange.
I think I've peed in a bathtub once. I think I was drunk and I just it might have. I don't think it was at this apartment, but it was that similar setup where it's the toilet is right next to the bathtub. It's just a couple degrees.
Sure.
Of difference, and I'll pee in here instead.
I've peed in a lot of places, sinks, things like that. But I don't feel like I had this experiment. This almost reads like they were at school all day thinking about this.
Yeah.
I got to get home.
Wonder what pee looks like.
What does it look like, Murray?
That's pretty smart though, because what if someone puts apple juice, quote unquote.
Now they know
in the refrigerator.
They know by
you can tell the difference.
Yeah, you can tell the difference. I don't know what to say. I'm. This is maybe the. We got some weird secrets this week. Yeah. This one's so tame and so innocent.
Yeah.
It's just a little pee experiment. I wonder, did this shape your life in any way? Did you draw any conclusions from this? Did you turn it into your sixth grade science fair? Is there anything that happened from this? Or did you just pee in a glass and empty it out? Did you wash the glass yourself carefully, I hope?
I hope so.
Did you put it in the dishwasher?
Mm-hmm.
Did you not wash it and have your brother drink out of it?
Ugh. Oh. Is that where you're going with this? Okay. One time I drank my brother's. I totally forgot. One time I drank my brother's blood on accident.
How did you do that?
Which is fine because we're the same person.
You don't have the same blood necessarily.
No, I think we do.
Basically the same.
Yeah, we have the same parents, so we're the
probably
same
the
person.
Same blood.
It's the same recipe, essentially. God, what happened?
Just drank his blood.
I think he had a loose tooth or something. I think he was too young to have just the tooth knocked out for no reason.
Okay. Did you knock his teeth out?
But he was spitting in a cup and I didn't know. And he's just spitting and spitting. And it was spit and water. Maybe he was drinking the water and then spitting it out. I don't know what he was doing. But he left a cup of blood.
You think it was Kool-Aid?
Of blood water. On the kitchen counter, and I don't know why I decided to drink it, but it was, I guess because it was full, it looked fine. If something's half, it's a little more suspect. but I thought it was iced tea and drank some. And then he
did it look like iced tea? Was it in a closed container?
It looked like iced tea.
In a glass or a cup?
Well, I mean, we make iced tea at home.
With blood?
No. Well, blood is like a brown color kind of when you mix it
up. How old were you when you drank your brother's own blood?
I was old enough. I was like 14 at least. Because we were in the new house.
How far did you get into that drink before you knew
something was wrong? I think like I took like a sip. It might have been in my mouth when he was like coming back from wherever he was gone, you know? And he was like, oh, that's my blood or something. And I spit it out. I probably hit him really hard.
Well, so you peed in a glass, but you at least didn't drink your own brother's blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't feel like I've ever accidentally...
I don't think I've ever accidentally drank someone's blood before.
I'm trying to think about ingesting blood, and I feel like I haven't ingested a lot of blood in my life.
Yeah. How about your own blood? You ever get, like, just blood in your mouth for some reason?
Yeah, I feel like I've had some, like, I've had some, sure.
Yeah.
You know, a lost tooth or some kind of cut or a busted lip or whatever. But not a lot. Not enough to steep and make tea out of.
It wasn't that much, you know. It's like what's a time when you like are just spitting up blood for no reason?
Hopefully never. Hopefully that never happens.
Just like spit blood though?
Only with tooth related trauma.
I mean, if your like tooth comes out, you're gonna bleed a little bit.
Sure you are.
And you like you spit and it's like, oh, there's lots of blood here. That's enough blood to make tea.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
All right.
Maury, what is next?
I am begrudgingly attracted to a lot of Asian girls, and I wish I wasn't so much because I really don't want to come off as having yellow fever.
Maury, how does this make you feel? What feelings does this email give you?
I think this person has yellow fever, is what it is.
Does this remind you, wasn't there a girl who once wrote us about Asian guys and how she didn't know how to interact with Asian guys?
Oh, yeah, it was a white girl or something.
Yeah.
It's like, we're people too.
You can be attracted to people.
Yeah. That's fine. You can be attracted to anyone you want.
Can you be attracted to... Are you offended by someone being attracted to Asian girls in general?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Because... Well, not like... If someone goes out of their way to say that, it's because...
Well, I mean, that's...
Because they are.
Sure. Well, like, more than... But it does seem like for whatever reason, plus or minus, like, it's just... That is a definite group that is very commonly fetishized. Mm-hmm. It's just totally. Asian girls is just like it's a fetish.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of, I don't quite understand the, like, more so than any other, you know.
Yeah.
Anything else. Really.
I guess so. Yeah. I think so.
You know what I mean? Like what other, if you went to like a porn site, there probably would not be a lot of other categories for.
I mean,
if you went to a very diverse one, but I mean, like, just in general.
You get a good one.
You get a good one. You get a lot of coverage.
You get everything.
So, but at the same time, so you don't think, you don't like that. And I think you might want to think about what it is. I think there's maybe qualities. If there's qualities of person that for whatever reason, people of Asian descent seem to line up with, like, you know, you might like petite girls.
Right.
You know, like if you like petite girls, lots of Asian girls are petite.
But then that's like a stereotype. That's
is it?
Like, yeah.
The average height of people in Asia is significantly lower than the average
height
of Americans.
But that's almost like saying, oh, you're like a tall, kind of bigger Asian girl. You're not really Asian.
Well, I don't mean it like that. But I don't know.
How dare you, Scott?
Average, you know, people.
No, I know what you mean. I'm just saying that when people think like that, it gets dangerous.
Sure. Maybe if you weren't even thinking like that. Maybe what I'm trying to say is maybe this person should figure out what it is that's attracting them. Because there's, there's like people that are Japanophiles that are just like, you know, really obsessed with Japanese culture. So that's a source of it. Part of it is just some kind of reverse, I don't know, like a foreignness thing.
Yeah, exactly. I get all of that, but I don't know, man. You don't need to like shove it in people's faces.
But it sounds like he doesn't want to come off as that. So maybe he's struggling with it. Maybe he doesn't want to be that guy. Maybe he doesn't want to be the guy that's just attracted to Asian.
Then don't be that guy. I know like enough people who are like serial daters of Asian girls, or I guess me the other way around. I've only dated white girls. Not because I think white girls are better than every other kind of girl. It's just the way it's been. And I'm okay with that, you know?
Well, that you found the girls. Well, So
I am not worried about coming off that way because I know I'm not that way.
What about the level of just, what about just you're attracted to who you're attracted to and yeah. you should be attracted to who you're attracted to.
That's fine.
But what if, I mean, without evaluating that, what if he finds that he's just typically attracted to Asian girls?
Then I don't know what to say to that person. I don't want them to like just stop, but
maybe he should just think about what it is.
I don't know what it is. I don't.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I can't really.
I know it's
I can't tell this person what to do because I don't know what they really feel.
It sounds like they don't want to be that guy.
But if it's not that, if it's just that you've dated a lot of Asian girls, then don't worry about it because
don't worry about it
okay. because other people are going to talk shit either way.
But okay. So but we've talked about like the people that are in your life are so different than whatever you're imagining. You know what I mean? Like whatever your imagined thing that you're into or whatever. So that, which is, the people that you're actually going to date or be around are people that you're around and that you know, right? Like to some extent. And I feel like that's separate from most people from what their kind of imaginary perfect person is or whatever. So yes. I guess the difference being like, say this guy day to day, just the people that he was around and the people that he dates are they're just whatever they happen to be and he likes them or he doesn't, you know, which is like that's how people, that's like how the history of people have acted.
Usually.
But now there's a whole internet of pornography where you can like have some very specific thing that you want to look for in a way that you never could before.
Right.
And right. so,
Okay.
So he gets on the internet. So I guess it's the difference between.
So this isn't so much, I guess I thought he was dating. It doesn't sound like he's just like.
Into him?
Porning off, you know.
I don't know. He says attracted to a lot of Asian. I don't know.
I don't know how your yellow fever would come out unless like you're walking around and like some magazine falls
unless
out of your backpack.
Unless you go to Yogurtland to pick up girls every day.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Or to WoW, that bubble tea place. Am I racist because I want to live in Japan because it seems like Japanese people are polite?
Oh, Japanese people are just as mean as other people.
But they seem so polite. In all of the movies I watch,
I've had some rude ass Japanese people.
Well, there's some rude people in the movies too.
I don't know. Okay, yeah, I don't like that kind of romanticism. Japan's like, it's like as bad as anywhere else.
But Tokyo looks so clean and beautiful.
Oh, it's not clean. It's like, I've never seen a homeless person there. I think I'm pretty sure we have some. I think I've talked about this before. I don't know where they are though. But it's like, you know, it gets hot. It's okay. When I went to New York for the first time, it gave me Japan vibes because it was like that humid, like kind of stinky, garbagey stuff sometimes. And then you go inside.
That's probably any big city.
Exactly. You go inside and then it's like, oh, this is nice. It's air conditioned and there's a robot or something.
I
saw a robot not on the subway, but in the subway station.
See?
Got off the plane.
I like robots.
Got on the subway. Went to the subway station. There's a robot.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Japan's cool, but it's not like...
I know it's not a beautiful utopia.
It's going to be what you want it to be, I think.
Did you know that the grad program I'm going to... Did I tell you that they're opening a school in Shanghai? And I might go to the Shanghai one, like, later or second year?
Don't get Shanghai'd.
Do you think that... Is that a stereotype? That people get Shanghai'd in Shanghai?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Listen, if it sounds like if you're trying not to come across as being that guy, that you're probably not a jerk. Hopefully, if you're not trying to be that guy, but if you're attracted, if you like a girl and she happens to be Asian, I think that's okay. And if you like three girls in a row and they're Asian, that's probably okay. Like, I don't think it's okay. You just like who you like.
Yeah.
If you really feel like it's a problem, like start to look at your life or look deeper and try to figure out what it is that makes you like the things you like. Like, and that goes for, you know, you can probably do that with anything that you think you find attractive in a girl. I like girls with short hair and it doesn't take me a lot to like evaluate my life and figure out where that comes from. Like it's not that complicated. And so it could be something as simple as that. Like in some ways, the short hair thing is a combination of people and impressions. So maybe like your Asian thing is a combination of people and impressions, in which case I don't think it's necessarily bad as long as you're sort of aware of it.
Yeah.
Because I will say the danger zone with that is the more you feel like you have a type, the more you're kind of setting yourself up to maybe miss out on something else.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the more you think you have a type, the more you might, even if like your body is saying yes and you're like attracted to a person and then you're like, oh, he's not my type or she's not my type. You can kind of talk yourself out of something. I know that, I don't know.
Sometimes, sure.
Well, I feel like for me, the people that I, for the most part, the people I've had the strongest overall connection with and like the deepest, longest connection with, I did not have that impression at the beginning. And the people that I've maybe had like a strong impression with at the beginning were not the ones that were the most significant. So I don't know. Types are really tricky, but don't be a jerk. Don't make Mari mad at you, but I think you should date who you like.
I think this person just likes to date people who like anime and that kind of thing, like similar interests. I don't want to say that it's like a cultural thing because that gets into like, oh, Asian girls are like more submissive.
No, but I get what you mean. Like,
I think this person just likes girls who like bubble tea and Yogurtland and, you know, and that's like, okay,
whatever. That could certainly be it. So in that case, it's less of a racial phenomenon, more of like just a cultural phenomenon that's not even necessarily associated with origin.
This is a white person trying to make up a problem for himself.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Okay. Then you're fine. Mari says you're fine and Mari's Asian, so you know you're okay.
Yeah. I have masturbated to stuff ranging from water sports to bestiality. I'll probably never tell anyone. You just did. I wonder just how effed up I am compared to other people.
Well,
what do you think?
I think that you probably saw these things on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're on the internet and they were accessible for you to find,
mm-hmm.
that instantly you know there are millions of people that have masturbated to those same pictures.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Easily millions.
I was thinking videos. The pictures.
Oh, show. Sure, video. I'm a little older, Mari. I go back to simpler.
Wow, how does that work?
Did you see today? Was it you who tweeted that?
What?
GIFs, the GIF format is 25 years old today.
Oh, yeah, I retweeted that.
Mari.
That's crazy.
It's CompuServe.
That's
a long
older
time ago.
Than I am.
Whoa.
I'm almost 24. That's weird.
I love this. I was weirded out by it at first, but I really like this renaissance that animated GIFs are having.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now they're suddenly like a semi-viable, they're not just a joke. And I think that they first, you know, they existed and they had their real thing and then they kind of went away.
Yeah, video.
And then video was coming back. But not even only that, like, you know, pings are relatively new. Like, ping support didn't come until later.
Call them pings or just call them PNGs?
Well, so
PNG
those...
PNG is shorter.
Those came... those came later and it was a long time before all browsers supported those. And there's actually, I don't know why it was never adopted, but there's Minx too. It's an animated PNG, but it's a motion network.
Ming?
Yeah. It never got,
what is it? Motion network
graphic. Yeah. It never got support in the browser. So
that's
it never went
cool.
anywhere.
Oh, weird.
It's basically cause IE never supported it.
Huh.
But anyway, but now they've come back and now people are like, you know, because of file size and all that, people are like doing these beautiful little,
yeah, yeah.
Animations.
I like internet history.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So now animated GIFs are of high enough quality that they are high enough quality to masturbate to,
mm-hmm.
and be sexy. So you are not necessarily weird compared to other people because the very fact that those things were available to you, there you go. I worry about you because, I don't know, there's that thing on the internet. And I don't know, you like associate it with 4chan or whatever, but like boys that only can get off to the weirdest things,
mm-hmm.
like people that have lost, maybe they started too early or they've overdone it or whatever, but they've lost like all sensitivity to normal sexuality and they have to look at more and more extreme things.
I don't really, yeah.
And that worries me only insofar as how it's going to affect you like with real relationships.
Yeah. I really, I don't understand. I am... pretty okay with furries. Like, if you're a furry, that's fine. I don't care. But it's just, it's weird how people get into it. I've heard people get into it because it's a very, like, welcoming community.
Sure.
You know, and it's, like, about friendship and, like, I don't know, identity and, like,
feeling, I think that's
feeling
different
lost.
Than this.
But then it, like, turns into, like, oh, I have to wear, like, a rubber mask.
To get up. Yeah. I feel like they're similar endpoints, but they come from different ways. Whereas that is coming from like some kind of social alienation and then an accepting group.
Uh-huh.
Whereas this is more like a pure escalation. Like every time you got a one up a little bit. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, looking at, you know, kind of coming of age with the internet, like
coming of age.
Yeah. Well, like my sexual exploration on the internet evolving with the internet as a medium for pornography.
Boy. Yeah.
So like starting out with little tiny images, starting out with the worst quality. And then it like, first it's just low quality. Like the first porn images I saw on the internet were like black and white scans that I had downloaded over a BBS that took like 14 hours to download a picture or whatever.
It's like finding a magazine half destroyed in the woods.
Or I mean, in a lot of ways, like the quality was worse. It looked bad, you know, but whatever, for whatever reason it had some, but then, you know, the quality gets better. The images get better. The movies get better. And now we're at this place that like, oh, I don't know. We're like the technology will always exceed it. So now like, you know, video is getting higher quality and bandwidth's not up there, but now it's like, you know, now it's full motion, high definition video is what you can look at if that's what you want. But I don't know, for some reason, and I don't really know what the recipe is for it, but people hit this thing where like they need something more extreme to get off. And I like everybody else have stumbled across this stuff on the internet, but it's never been more than like a weird curiosity, never sexual, but I know that it's out there for people. And I don't think you're a bad person or anything, but it does worry me about you.
I think this person's fine.
Well, I worry about
other people.
I worry about you if you like get involved with a girl and you have to picture a horse to get off or something. Mm. Like, I feel like, you know, it's internet pornography can be so addicting and so weird, and it seems like such a harmless addiction, but it really can mess with you with interpersonal relationships. So I think be careful of that, but I don't think you should, coming at it from the angle of like being a weirdo or nobody else does it, like don't worry about that part because you know other people do it.
Yeah, someone put it up.
Yeah, if somebody was standing, someone was having sex with the horse.
Yeah.
You're just looking at a picture of it masturbating, so you're not.
Or a donkey.
Or a donkey or whatever. So don't worry, you're not a weirdo or anything, but just be aware that this can screw with you in that regard.
I think part of like the leveling up thing, like trying to find like really niche stuff, is just like it's basically foreplay. Like you want it to be like something you haven't seen before, you know?
Yeah.
And you just like search for more and more obscure shit.
Yeah, I think that's one route to go. I feel like maybe that does happen, or maybe I don't know. Maybe it's because there's no like real sexual fulfillment, and so you're constantly looking to up it. Because I also feel like there's people who find like there's so many very specific hyper niche sites that it seems like somebody just found the perfect thing for them. Like this is the thing that gets them off every time, and they never need anymore.
So they feel like they have to find that thing for themselves.
I don't know, or I don't know if they even know that. I think maybe that just happens by accident. Can I tell you about something I accidentally stumbled across?
Sure.
I was looking at, gosh, what was it? Some Tumblr. Oh, it was my Google alerts for Scott Garner. And one popped up that I'd never seen before. Yeah. And it was photographer Tammy Scott Garner. And I was like, that's like hyphenated last name, Scott-Garner. Huh. And I'd never seen that. I thought, that's really interesting. So I went and I clicked it. And it was like a porn Tumblr.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things on the page was something I'd never seen before. And I'm pretty desensitized to like all kinds of advertising on the internet and porn advertising. And I'm not like, I don't know. I'm not ever really drawn in by anything, but this was so,
what is it?
Mari, it's enough to make me almost want to get an account to this porn site.
What is it?
It's called Beautiful Agony.
Uh-oh. What is that? What is it? What is it?
It's basically, it's not even, oh my God, how do you describe it? It's like, a camera above a bed, and then a man or a woman like lying down. So they're basically framed from shoulders up. You don't even see their body, anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they masturbate and have an orgasm.
Oh, okay.
And you just see but they're like looking at the camera. So it's like you're full, you know, like full frame looking into the eyes of someone having an orgasm.
Whoa.
And the
is it like amateur or is it a?
I think you can just upload them. They don't. There's not a lot to see, like, if you don't have an account. You can see all the ones available, but you can't watch any. It just happened to be that one was, like, uploaded to some site, and that's the one that was on the Tumblr.
Yeah.
But it caught my attention, one, because it was, like, this whole full page of, like, porn. And then there's one that's just, like, a girl, just a really, you know, like, a pretty girl's face.
Right.
And then, so that made it stand out to me. And then she's so pretty.
Yeah.
But it's, like, I don't know. I feel like, for all the stuff you see, like every website you go to or anytime, I feel like it's torrent sites, especially, but certain sites you go to, you're just inundated with
same,
porn and sex everywhere. Doesn't even like I don't even flinch anymore, but something about this was just...
Exactly. It's, man, there's something like more human about it somehow.
She's so pretty and she's just looking right into your eyes, Mark.
Yeah.
So maybe you can come down off the water sports and bestiality by going to Beautiful Agony.
Yeah, this, honestly, like, this kind of, this level of, like, I don't want to say weird shit, it feels very, like, Kazaa to me. Like, this is basically what I would, not
crazy,
this,
no, yeah, sure.
This, like, level of, like, oh, I've heard of that. What's that look like? Oh, that's weird.
It reads to me, it's just pure 4chan. And actually, weirdly enough, the comments on that video, which I only looked at because I was trying to figure out what the site was, were, like, most of the people were, like, disgusted with it because it wasn't actual porn.
Oh boy.
Like, because it just wasn't, anyway, comments are always stupid, but it was sort of funny that those people were so critical of this because it wasn't, you know,
well, like, tits,
quote, pornographic.
Tits are,
like,
get the fuck out.
Yeah, right? Kind of. And so anyway, it was, but I was stunned by this site. So on the one hand, there will always be something on the internet to stun you. In whatever way that happens.
I am, like, super desensitized, too.
Mark, you gotta look at this. It'll change your life. I really, it gave me pause for a second. Like, should I pay money to
Someone
see this?
Was talking about? Oh, it was Aziz Ansari. He was like, you know how those websites always have, like, a pay option? Like, I don't want to pay for porn. He was saying, like, you should pay for porn. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. We'll put a link into it so you can both look at the site. It's just such a, and it's also, I don't know, for some reason it seems way less, I don't know, something about it seems more wholesome. Like, it's less, seems like less whatever you want to think about, like, porn and objectification, little, like, and whatever. Like, it's not about the body, it's not about anything, it's more just about, like, this person really feeling good and seeing in their face how good they feel.
It's a little sad.
I don't know. Anyway, it surprised me, and I've seen a lot of porn on the internet.
Yeah.
So, what else? Mari, anything else for this guy? You're not a weirdo.
I don't want to show my cards, really.
You don't have to show your cards.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Do you have a subscription to bestialitywatersports.com?
No, I don't. What I have is much more, not a subscription. I have a, should I?
Your focus? Mari, you don't have to admit anything. I just told people that I like to look at.
I guess it's, like, it's pretty, like, in the open that I watch porn. Like, I feel like everybody does.
Sure. If you're on the internet.
There's this website called XArt. Are you familiar with it? X, like the letter, hyphen art.
I don't...
And it's high quality, like, film porn.
No, like, porn or softcore, just naked girls?
It's,
like, really...
It starts like softcore, but then they do things.
I haven't seen that. I used to see, like, going back to photos, when photos were a thing, there were some sites that I would look at that I liked that were, like, really nice photography.
Like, artsy, yeah.
Yeah, really, and I don't remember the names, but that to me seemed, like, nicer. Because weirdly, I don't know, like, you know, as the trajectory for television into reality television, parallel to that has been, like, reality porn, like, cheap.
Right, yeah, I'm still, like... looking for something like, oh, I would date this person, you know? That doesn't exist right now.
No, she's on there. She's on Beautiful Agony, Mari. She'll see her. Mari, this girl's so cute. She's just pretty.
There is something about, like, I think there's, I don't know if it's a resurgence, but there's more people who just, like, do webcam stuff.
Hmm.
And maybe, like, the girl next door is there. That's, like, you know,
could
the literal
be her.
Girl next door.
It could be.
Maybe that's
well, I don't know. And then Tumblr is just a crazy, crazy world of people taking pictures of themselves. And yeah, I don't know, Mari. It's a world's crazy place.
Porn's weird.
Porn's okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you about this new site.
Okay. Mine's pretty good too.
Okay.
When I was younger, I always had crushes. It was just a long string of crushes through high school and college. Now I'm in my mid-20s and I haven't had any crushes or boyfriends in a while, and I just feel so empty inside because of it. I miss it. I think I've been in kind of a crush lull also. I mean, I'm in a relationship.
I have too, and it's...
I'm in my mid-20s.
It's hard. You know, I found... For whatever reason, I don't know what the rule is. It's almost like some law of physics or something, but like for any enclosed environment in which I am present with males and females, I will have some kind of crush on one of the females there.
Yeah.
Just whatever. Like if it's a job or school or what, like if there's a class, there'll be a girl, you know, like if we had a class, there would be
a girl
in the class that was the cute girl in that class.
Absolutely.
And yeah, if I had a job, like a there's a cute girl here. And what? Even at like Madison Market, there's a cute girl there. You know, there's like cute girls places, but
they're evenly distributed.
Yeah. But the longer you're in one of those places, your crush can kind of stagnate because you actually get to know them or whatever. And it's kind of, or if you're like, you're not exposed to new places. And I feel like as we've talked, you know,
You're saying that this, okay, maybe, okay, you go to like a cafe and there's a cute barista. Does that one girl count for like the rest of time for that location? Is that how that works?
Not necessarily. I think you have to go there and see her. Like, there's a one girl at Madison who's usually at the little front desk thing, and I see her because I go there a lot. Uh-huh. And so that's different than just, like, the one time ever. Because I would forget the one time ever.
No, but, like, you keep going, and, okay, maybe she moves away, and then no cute girl ever fills that space for...
Well, or for whatever reason, the girl falls out of your... Like, she says something stupid in class, or she's dumb at work.
Out of your
or
favor.
Yeah, whatever. But
anyway, whatever.
But one... I think it does get a little weird as you get old. I feel like I haven't had a good crush in a long time because I just don't meet. I haven't met a lot of people in real life for quite a while.
I haven't met anyone new.
I feel like maybe I'm not. Maybe unfortunately, like part of it is losing some naivete.
I thought you were going to say part of your brain.
Part of your brain. No, like you're a little less naive as you get older. So maybe you're a little less susceptible or you're a little more jaded or whatever. I don't know. Crushes are nice. I'm looking forward to, this is not 100% of the story, but truly some of the story of why I did not go to the grad program in Santa Cruz was out of the girls in my class and the class a year ahead of me. There were no girls that I immediately thought were cute.
That says something. Yeah.
But at NYU, there's
across the board
cute girls from all over the world. Like they had this email thread of people introducing themselves.
Uh-huh.
And I, for some reason, didn't have, I knew there'd be international students, but it's like,
it's crazy.
Half international girls from everywhere, ladies of the world, Flight of the Conchords style from everywhere. And it's like,
I like how that's I feel like rappers do that pretty often, you know,
well,
area codes and like,
Jay-Z's okay. Girl. Yes. It's very much like that, but it was all these cute girls and they're all, I don't know what to think about this. One, because I don't feel like I've ever been around a group of people that really do the things I do, like, or like the things I really like. Like, I'm always on kind of like the margins of some kind of thing. Like, I'm kind of a programmer, but not really, kind of a designer, kind of whatever. Like, all the groups of people I've usually been with have not been people that do the things that I do. Really.
And that can intensify a crush.
Well, yeah. And now I'm going to be in a whole giant international program of, for the first time in my life, probably, girls that do the kind of thing that I do.
Oh, man. Okay, so the problem with that is that you're going to have to be, like, extra picky.
I want to play it stone cold, cool as hell, Mari.
I don't know. You don't.
Mari, I am not going to date a girl I go to school with.
Yeah, it's kind of bad.
Mari, I can't do that again.
I don't think it's a good idea, but what are your other options? What are you going to do? You can't not date them.
What if they make me date them? Yeah. They do that sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
I'm not going to do anything. We'll just see what people do to me.
My new thing, I guess
which a new thing Mari?
is like illustrator crushes or cartoonist crushes, which is like always kind of been, you know, a thing.
Do you sometimes get a blurred line between having a crush on a girl and on her drawings of girls? Or have a little bit of a blur between, like a little bit of a blur.
I guess it is a blur because sometimes I don't even know what they really look like. Just the fact that they're a girl, you know.
I don't know. I guess I've been, maybe it's because of lack of a proper crush, but I've been having weird timeline crushes, like just weird
timeline crushes.
Yeah, like just weird, like Twitter, like icon. Twitter icon crushes.
Absolutely.
Where you're like, oh, you are in your little 32x32 picture. You're just a doll.
Is it 32?
I don't know.
Is it 40x40?
It's little.
I don't know how big it is.
It's quite small.
I think it's 40x40.
Okay, it's 40x40. It's it's small, but
that's enough to fall in love with them.
I know they're just cuties. We, Mari, you have so many cute girls following.
There are times I'm like, oh man, if I was in LA, we'd get coffee.
Ladies.
We'd get coffee immediately.
Whoa.
And then I would probably never want to talk to them again.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know, man.
Maybe you fall in love.
Yeah. But, yeah, sometimes I'll meet someone and they look completely different from what I imagine them to. And then it's nice to have that distance, you know, to not ruin things.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's better because then we're just friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And to go back to this with that, I think part of what, and maybe this ties back to what I was saying before, but like part of what makes a crush work is like separate contexts for crushes. Like I was saying, like, you know, you have a cute girl in this class. So you're saying that you used to have crushes in high school and college. Well, that makes total sense. Cause like then you have potentially 8 different crushes a day. Like, oh, there's a cute girl in this class and there's a cute girl in this class. And,
oh man. Yeah.
But now when you're in the work world, you're like 8 hours a day around the same people.
You're stuck. I'm just mean Corey sometimes.
God, do you have a crush on Corey?
No.
Mari, what is next?
In high school, I thought I fell in love with my best friend. She brought out the best. Sorry. In high school, I thought I fell in love with my best friend. She brought out the best in me and helped me discover my artistic talent. But having grown up in a strict religious family, I was confused and terrified that this would make me a lesbian. I couldn't handle it and broke up our friendship. Eventually, in an attempt to fix things, I told her the truth, but it only made things worse. I've lost count of the years and I've moved on with my life, but every once in a while, I break down and cry for the loss of what had been such a magical friendship. That's really sad.
Right. The saddest part about this is that, remember last week when we told, it wasn't last week, it was 19 weeks ago. Last time when we told everybody to tell everybody when they have a crush.
Yeah. No, not really.
Yeah. We said, if you have a crush, just tell them.
Oh, that sounds like something we'd say.
Yeah. Maybe this is a case when maybe you should think. It's sad that you have to think about it. And hopefully we're coming to a point in.
You think so, though?
Well, it sounds like in this case it went badly.
But I think it would have happened badly anyway.
You're right.
You can't just bottle up.
No,
inside.
Sure. I'm glad you did, but I'm sad that it went badly, I guess. I'm glad you told, but I'm sad that it didn't go well for you. Yeah. You know, I think this is just a hard thing, and it sounds like it's a hard situation, and man, there's going to be everybody out there. I don't want to bum you out, but there will be things in your life that will hurt forever. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's kind of not true.
Time heals all wounds.
That's not true. That is actually not true.
All of them.
No, but it's also kind of a beautiful thing about life. Like that, you know, interacting, especially in interpersonal relationships and reacting with people and interacting, they make a big impression. And just like, you know, you can look back fondly on something for your whole life. You can also look back sadly, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, mm-hmm. but it's just sort of how the breaks are, and sometimes it's not going to go so well, but hopefully you have plenty of good to balance out that bad. And maybe it's better in the end. Like, you don't have to always wonder about saying it.
Exactly. In an alternate universe, she is sad about never admitting her crush.
Yeah. You can't win necessarily. Like, you can't guarantee win. It's always a gamble, but at least this way, you know that you tried, that you gave it a shot. Mari, do you have anything else to say about this? Like, friend crushes are always difficult anyway.
Yeah.
I had, after high school, for whatever reason, there was like a switch flipped. But for the most part, I would have, I don't know, I had some close male friends, but a lot of, especially through my 20s, most of my close friends were female.
Yeah.
But there were times when I had some close male friends, and there were some times, I don't know. I remember specifically I had one very close friend in high school. And we never, like, it was never, I think we were very emotionally close, mm-hmm. but there wasn't anything sexual to it. You know, like, we weren't attracted. I don't think he was ever attracted to me. I was never attracted to him. Like, okay. That just never came up. But
I didn't say anything. I didn't suggest that.
No, I say that only because, I think because we were so close. In fact, okay. My mother confronted me about if I was gay and if he was my boyfriend.
Right. Well, I mean, you and I have that, and I kind of have that with Corey, too.
I know, that's true.
People
like a weird,
think we're couples all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, which is, but I feel like right, it's yeah. in Seattle in the 20s, it's different than it was in Amarillo, Texas in
right,
1997.
Right,
like
yes.
it was, and it was, it's kind of weird because we also had a super close friend named Drew who was gay and who maybe semi had feelings for me and maybe like semi confused me, but mm-hmm. not with this other friend. And so, but she confronted me about it and I was so baffled.
Yeah.
And I, cause I didn't even see that coming. So it was, I don't know, like the, I don't know on the, I don't really know on his end what he thought of that or like if he had any thoughts on it or anything like that. And I don't know mm-hmm. just the, cause I feel like in any, I don't know when you, we never talked about it, but there must've been something there for my mother to like,
do you think so?
Unless she was super paranoid. I don't know, Mari. It just made me think of that. Like,
do you know
I just
where
didn't
he
know.
Is now.
Yeah. He's, I know where he is. We haven't been, we kind of like stopped being friends. Just like, I don't know.
This happens.
Especially with high school friends. Yeah. Just.
Is he gay?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think he was always, he's like me. Like he's fairly girly. Like it wouldn't probably surprise anyone like if I was gay.
Yeah.
It wouldn't. Yeah. He's kind of like me. Totally gay.
You're not gay.
I know. Shocker. No, I think,
I know what you mean.
But yes, anyway, yes. So it's a different situation than this, but it kind of put me back into that of like, I don't know, at least even if I wasn't feeling like that, the perception was there. And
yeah. Okay. I've had stuff like that too. Okay. I remember being like super young, like 10, and having gay thoughts about my, because we'd like sleep in the same bed, have a slumber party. I have like a gay thought. I don't know if they ever felt that way.
Well, I think, I think the one thing that pushed my mother to like have it, I don't even know what it, which was my mother is so passive and so never brought up things like that. Never was aggressive, never was like aggressively involved in my life, really.
But okay. What did she say? Was she like, is he your boyfriend?
Or no, she was like, is there something you want to tell me about Chris? But kind of in like a way, I don't know. I don't know if she was trying to get me to come out or if she was mad about it or what. I really don't know. And
well,
I think
if you spent time with a girl, it'd be the same thing. It's like this. That's.
But it wasn't. Oh, yeah. Because I had girls around all the time. Mari, the time.
Oh, fine.
Like, but
whatever.
No, not even sexually. I'm sure my mom, I don't know what people thought, but like all my friends would come over and they would come to the back door because my room was right there. So like.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. And even like, I remember once when I was dating a girl and I did introduce her to my mom.
Yeah.
My mom was kind of surprised and later asked me like, is Robin somebody special? Cause you normally don't introduce me to any of these girls.
Oh, I see.
And so,
I don't know.
I don't know either. And I don't know, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe when I think about the situation, I think we were like both lying in my bed or something. And she came in or I like called her in to talk to her. Maybe she thought like I was trying to show, I don't know. But anyway, that brought this to mind. And so, but that was also kind of a situation that was like, again, I didn't have feelings for him, but it was a situation where that was like, you know, where I lived and in Texas and religious family and all of that probably would not have been okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. It was kind of a weird thing. Yeah. Mari, do you have any thoughts for this person? I'm sorry that you'll cry for it forever, but it's kind of beautiful that you will.
Yeah, man. And this is one of those situations where, you know, I don't really feel like contacting this person is going to do any good.
No. And you know what? I mean, the best thing I can say about this is I'm not trying to bum everybody out, but this is just how it is.
It's like really bummed out right now.
Every good thing in your life is going to end. Like every single good thing.
Why is that true and not the opposite? Why doesn't time heal all wounds?
Because everything will end, Mari. Like,
well, exactly.
You'll die.
Exactly.
Like, and no, but I mean,
that's a yes, when you're healer.
No, but I mean,
that's
like
something to look forward
to. No, like imagine, like what if they did get together and then had a terrible breakup? Like it'd be a sad memory. Or what if they get together and stay together for 30 years and then the girl died and it was sad? Like whatever happens in your life, like everything is fleeting.
Yes.
And that's not that's not to be negative about it. That's to like appreciate
that's
it and
why,
value it
yeah.
more. And so it's, you know, you get to look back at this beautiful, magical friendship you had. It did end, but everything's going to end. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to think about it like, oh, it's so sad. I lost it.
This person has their shit together.
No, yes, you're totally fine. But I just don't want you to, I guess I don't want you to feel bad about feeling bad about it.
Yeah.
There's one, I don't remember what it's from. I'm sure I'm stealing it from 100 places. But the idea is that like nothing is in life is yours. You're just borrowing it for some time. And that's like,
oh man,
you've got to give everything back.
That's so Tumblr. Ugh.
I think it's from like the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
I think it's from like,
whatever that is.
I can't even pronounce it.
Whatever that is. .tumblr.com.
Yeah. No, I think it's like, I don't know, Mark.
No. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You got to give it back. Sorry, yeah. Everybody.
Yeah. They'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
And I don't mean like don't contact this person because it's going to be awful. But sometimes you know in your heart that that's the end of the story.
Yeah, you can think about them and that's fine. But yeah, it's probably, you know, sometimes you got to close the book. Some of these.
I think I'm in the midst of an existential crisis.
I love this
crisis.
I love existential crises. It's what I think about.
Crises. I believe it's cripods.
Cracked eye?
That's nothing resembling crisis. You're right. Anyway, I know you do.
Mari,
how many are you in the midst of right now?
I'm in a new one. But I've got... Okay. This is a word people throw around. But there's the beauty of the existential crisis. Is that in essence, it's that existing is hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just being alive is hard. And
the hardest thing.
Well, the weird kind of inverse property of life is that the more you take, like, the more your difficult things are taken care of, or, like, you know, food, shelter, all that stuff is covered, the more open you are to having a problem with just that existing is difficult. Life is tough stuff. And I've read so many books about it. I've read so many books on meaning. I've read so many books on every possible way to approach this psychologically and philosophically. And I have yet to find one that really, I've found some that have kind of helped me through periods, but there hasn't been one great one until.
Right. Uh-oh. What? How? There's no answer to this.
That's what's okay. A 42? Couple of things. What? No. Okay. So I just reread Nausea.
Okay.
Which is like it's like the novel about having an existential crisis. It's like Jean-Paul Sartre, and it's amazing.
Uh-huh.
And I've been rereading Letters to a Young Poet by Rilke, where he talks about things like, you know, that, you know, embracing your loneliness and things like that, which is all good. But I just read this amazing book.
Uh-oh.
And it is called Man's Search for Meaning.
Okay.
And it is written by a guy named Viktor Frankl.
Frankl?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
like Al Franken.
So Viktor Frankl's thing is that most of what, especially like mid 20th century on, most of what people's difficulty is not like neuroses or problem with their childhood or weird thoughts about their father or whatever, like all the old school of psychoanalysis.
Yeah.
His is called logotherapy, and logos is meaning.
Okay.
And so his whole thing is that what you really are looking for is your meaning in life. Yeah. Mari, you know this as the city slickers one thing. That is that is the very Curly's.
I don't remember the one thing though. I just remember saying one thing.
And then he says, that's what you got to figure out.
Shoot.
So that's basically Curly's one thing philosophy is basically an abbreviated version of logotherapy.
Yeah.
But he puts it. Okay. So first of all, if you're wondering about Viktor Frankl's credentials for being able to tell you about this stuff.
Is he a cowboy?
No, he was writing a book about meaning, and he started like doing all this stuff and lecturing when he was 16 and writing letters to Freud and all that.
Oh, what?
And then he got put in a concentration camp.
Oh, shit.
And when he was being like admitted into Auschwitz, they took away the manuscript for his book that he was writing about finding meaning in life. And then so he basically for the next like 3 years spent time in four concentration camps, and not only like figuring out how to find meaning in life, but figuring out how to find meaning in life in a concentration camp. And like even figuring out,
oh my God,
to the point that like the people who died were usually, and you know, totally aside obviously from people that were just forced into gas chambers, but people who just gave up and dropped dead on the work line were people that gave up on having didn't have meaning anymore.
They give up.
Yeah. And so, and he would talk about people that would just one day just lie down, and you knew they gave up because they would take out their cigarette and start smoking it. Because normally cigarettes, you would like save them to trade for soup and stuff. So when you saw someone smoke a cigarette, you were like, that guy's.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the smoking.
So anyway, he spends 4 years, or it's like two, three years in four different concentration camps working on this philosophy. And what's crazy is that his meaning in life is like, it's divided by a few things, but the most amazing one is like, I have to survive this. And he like visualizes himself in the future giving a lecture about where he is then.
Yeah.
Cause he's got to like tell people about this and tell people how he survived.
Yeah.
And so, and he's like thinking about his wife and
a wife. How old is he? He's 16, right?
No. He was older by then. So he's in his 20s, but his wife, his wife, he doesn't know it, but she dies in the concentration camp. Ah. He has to be there with his dad while his dad is dying in the concentration. It's just like he horrible, horrible situation.
Oh my God. Does he talk about all this in the book?
Yeah. So the book is two halves, but on the one half, he's totally, the other thing he does, which I really respect him for, is when he says it like, he doesn't read it. And this sounds weird or bad to say, but he doesn't write like, he wants you to feel sorry for him. He's like, I want you to understand the situation I was in. And he writes about it like, this isn't about concentration camps. This isn't about the Holocaust. This is not any of that.
His story.
This is about me. Yeah. And this is about my day to day.
Totally.
And like how he got through it. And he talks about,
damn.
But like the thing. So anyway, that's the first half. And then the second half of the book, he talks about the philosophy he comes up with.
Shit.
Basically, he refines his skill, like his purpose in life is to help people find their meaning. So like it has these anecdotes of him talking to people and they'll like talk to him about their problems and he'll just say one perfect thing and it will like totally change their life. And sometimes sometimes it's crazy. Like one was about an old man there was an old man whose wife had died and he was so miserable and so upset. And he was like, I just like he could not recover from his wife's death.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said something along the lines of like, well, what would have happened if you had died first, how would your wife have felt? Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, she would have been crushed. She wouldn't have been able to handle it. And he was like, well, by you bearing this,
you've
saved her from having to bear it.
Oh my
and like
God.
That changed the guy's life. It's so good. And you can get the Kindle book is like $6. It's so worth
awesome.
It. It's so good. It's short. It's incredible. And he also,
how short is short? 200?
Oh gosh. Kindle pages make no sense because I like read books that have 900,000 pages.
Okay, so
like,
tell me how many pages and then the font size.
I'm going to guess like a 100-page book, like a normal printed book.
Wow.
It's really short.
That's short.
It's basically, it's like two essays, really.
Okay. Sounds rad.
But one of the other things he does is he's like super respectful of people's feeling and like their suffering in life. And like even though he talks about these experiences he has, he's very clear to say like, everybody's suffering is their own. Like your own suffering, suffering is like a gas. It will just fill whatever you have to let it fill. It doesn't, it's not relative. Like, or it's totally relative. You can't there's no universal for it.
That's cool.
But my favorite thing he says, that is the thing that like totally, if there's one thing in it that changed my thinking about it, he said, asking the meaning of life is like asking a chess grandmaster what the best chess move is.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super awesome. Again, because, you know, obviously the chess grandmaster is going to be like the move depends on the game and the opponent and where you are in the game. And so the meaning of life depends on your life, the people in your life, where you are in your life, all these things. And so, yeah, it's crazy.
That's so cool.
So he was not about like, he didn't think you need to get psychoanalyzed about what you thought about your boss as your father figure. He didn't think you needed to take medication. He thought that for most people's problems, what all they really were looking for was the reason that they live.
Right.
And that's really what an existential crisis is about.
Okay.
Like, what are you existing for?
That's pretty simple.
Yeah. It's so good. And I think if you're in an existential crisis that you should read that book and you can read Nausea and you can read a million other books that I could recommend because it's all I read about or think about. But man, that Frankl book is good.
Okay, can we say it one more time? We'll put it in the notes, but what is it?
It is Man's, I think it's called Man's Search for Meaning.
Okay.
He was one of the people I had, was in my thesis, and he had one of my favorite quotes that was, that which illuminates must endure burning, which were like, for like a person in a position that wants to, it's good. He's good.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's really amazing.
Okay. To add to that, I just rewatched X-Men First Class.
Okay.
And man, he's like Magneto.
He's a lot like Magneto.
But, you know, Magneto, like, you want him to be good, but
he's basically...
He tries.
Exactly like Magneto. Basically, Magneto is like a fictional adaptation of Victor Frankl.
Yeah, man. That movie, I love X-Men. Like, the whole, like...
Do you love that movie?
Civil rights thing, you know? It's great.
I thought that was an interesting...
It's beautiful. Well, that's like the whole thing. The whole thing is Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. That's what it is. And like, I don't know. They just do it so well. That movie's like, it's good, but just the idea of it is so much better.
What do you think about the Tumblr obsession with the romance between Charles and Eric?
Well, that's, I mean, someone was talking about how a lot of, Japanese manga and then maybe Korean dramas are a lot about like boy love or like man love, you know? And like girls get like really off on seeing like two dudes just like being hella romantic to each other. And you know, I think that's starting to feed into this bromance thing. Is starting to feed into American mainstream.
You know what's weird about that?
Because Avengers too. It's pretty gay.
Right. The weirdest thing about that is that's like all of the oldest literature.
Yeah.
Well, is total bromances. Gilgamesh, the Epic of Gilgamesh, like the first epic, like the first book, basically. Total bromance.
But I don't think they're portrayed in a way that like girls are like, oh yeah, we're only gonna kiss.
They kind of are.
It's, I mean, okay. There's been like really gay stuff since the beginning of time.
And Achilles.
And everyone's gay. But like, I don't know. They don't usually, it's not like their angle, you know? People are doing this on purpose.
Maybe so. But I feel like it's an old thing. It's coming back. It's come full circle. Epic of Gilgamesh is back.
Have you seen Avengers?
No, I don't know if I like it.
It's pretty good. So you haven't seen it?
No, I just don't. I don't know. Like, I have a weird, like, from comic books as a kid, I just don't like I never liked Captain America very much, never liked Thor very much.
Oh, did you watch the Captain America movie?
No, I just never liked Captain America.
I was telling Christina, I've never read a good Captain America comic, but I like the movie.
The only good Captain America was, there was one, I forgot what the series was, but there was a series where they, like, thawed him out during Vietnam and he didn't know what to do. Because he didn't know, like, oh, should I be all American and fight my... That was the only arc, you know, any point in the arc of Captain America that was ever interesting.
There are times... That sounds like kind of like a Superman thing, where there's, like, Superman Red Sun, where he falls in Soviet Russia, and then he, like, fights for the Russians, you know? So, there are good Superman comics, so I think they could do something good with the character.
Thor has always made me a little...
Thor's a weird one.
Well, Thor... I don't want to sound like cultural insensitivity guy, because that's not really what I think of it, but it's like,
you're not even trying.
You're just taking gods from, I don't know. That's always made me feel weird. It's like such, it's a super weak, like, yeah, you're not even trying. You just stole some.
Who's the Samson? They do that with Samson too, but he's not as popular. He's like a Superman, not villain.
There's not a lot of heroes in the Bible, Murray. A lot of cool heroes.
Filled with heroes, though. People take things from the Bible all the time.
Do you know what's weird about the heroes in the Bible? They do weird stuff. Like, sometimes when they get married, their wives want a dowry. Or, no, it's the opposite of a dowry. Or whatever, like a wedding gift of 600 foreskins from their enemies.
And they have foreskins?
Yeah. Ooh. And then one of them, one of those kings, I want to say it was David, but that doesn't sound right. One of those kings had to go get a bunch of foreskins so he could marry his wife.
Oh man, that sounds intense.
Half of the Old Testament is about, like, you know, bartering and dealing and trading and collecting foreskins.
There's a comic called Orcstain, and their currency is orc penises. And
that's pretty close to what was going on.
They get the penis and they, like, dry it and they cut it and then, like,
little coins. It's a coin. Yeah. That's basically what the Old Testament.
And then you have these coins around your neck and they're just orc penises, and everyone's
like
an orc.
They're kind of like it sounds like dried banana slices.
No, I think it's maybe a lot tougher. I don't know.
Like a jerky?
Like banana chips? Because that's...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's...
Banana chips.
They're thicker than that.
Hmm. We got a little bit off of existential crisis there.
Okay.
So go watch The Avengers. No, watch X-Men First Class and read Man's Search for Meaning. Is that... I could talk about existential crises.
I don't know how long I can talk about X-Men. I'm like a comic book, whatever.
Wait,
but,
Mari.
Yeah.
Existential. Wait a second.
Okay.
I get it.
Yeah.
I don't think
that's what it is.
You're probably. Okay.
It's
sorry.
X Factor.
We are really rambling on in this episode. Is anyone going to listen to this?
I think that's what they like about us.
Is this one of those episodes where you're going to say it was good?
Oh, yeah. This is a good episode.
Mari loves this episode.
I'm a little sleepy right now and I'm late for a party, but.
That's fine.
It's not my party. They can wait for me.
Yeah. You would never want to show up too early to a party anyway.
What does that email say? Okay. I've started masturbating a lot to more transgendered girls recently, in addition to, quote unquote, standard girls. And I'm becoming a bit more comfortable with the fact that I find them really sexually appealing when they're cuties. I'm supportive of the trans community, but I'm not really attracted to them unless they're super cuties and more feminine. I work in a place where LGBT people are ridiculed, and it's always hard to keep my mouth shut, and I've started to just not keep my mouth shut about it. Is that where we're ending it?
Yeah. Mari, what do you have to say to this person? So one part, I mean, there's two pieces here. One is like the personal, like
feeling weird about it,
feeling weird about the masturbation. And then part of it is like, how do they fall into sort of a defense of a community that they
are not really part of, but yeah, support.
So do you have any immediate thoughts about,
it makes me sad that they feel bad about it. Like even a little bit.
You shouldn't. So we've talked about this so many times, but I feel like there's so, and maybe I feel like as a society getting to understand that, you know, sexual identity and gender identity and all these things are kind of different and kind of blurry. Mm-hmm. And that
I like it blurry though.
I do too, because, and we've talked about this a million times, I like typically am attracted to more masculine females.
Yeah.
But that is such a blurry line that I can totally find feminine men attractive too.
Totally.
And like, I'm not super into this particular kind of thing, but I totally get it.
Yeah.
And like, it totally falls within that range. And so, and even like, it doesn't, later in the email, it talks about like not knowing about being gay or bi, right? Like, it doesn't.
I don't know what this person is.
You don't have to worry about that. Well, I don't know. That makes me think of even if you like the pretty girl with a penis part and you like the penis, like even that is, I wish I could remember specifically, but I feel like there was a Savage Love or something from a few years ago where Dan Savage was talking about like how liking penises is not the same as liking men or being gay. And it's just like, I don't know.
Weird.
I feel like you get it. Well, I don't know. And sure. I feel like, I mean, I totally get that. And I feel like
wrap my mind around that.
Well, right. I think about it in the context of like, I don't know. You feel like,
is this like women liking using dildos or something? Kind of,
or even like imagine like women liking boobs.
Yeah. Or okay, everyone across the board loves butts.
Yeah.
Everyone loves butts.
Everyone, there's but like, gay but think about a girl nothing. Who likes boobs. It's not necessarily gay. It's not this. You know, it's there's a lot of reasons that can happen, but you can totally like, even if you find yourself like you're attracted to the more masculine female look or the more feminine masculine look, like whatever part of that you're comfortable with and works for you is totally fine. And I don't feel like you need to adopt any kind of label, particularly because this right now is just what you're masturbating to. Like, it doesn't sound like this is what you're seeking out, or if you're trying to date trans girls or any of that, that would, you know, that starts to change a little bit, but still not even that much, because I mean, still, it sounds like you're identifying, like, it still sounds like the feminine is what is attractive to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and even like,
maybe it's that blurry area.
Maybe it is, but it's still like, he even says like he likes it when they're cuties and whatever. So that's,
I don't know if this is a guy or a girl. It could be a lesbian who's like getting into trans territory.
Could be. I totally thought it was a boy.
I have no idea. I can't tell. There's too many words.
There's so many words.
And it just,
but it's all fine. So anyway, on that one part, like, you're totally fine to masturbate with what you want to.
Absolutely.
Where you start to maybe have to think more about it just to have like potentially healthy relationships is how you're going to define yourself within that.
Yeah.
I think that to me, it does sound like you're attracted to the feminine and that maybe you like that they look a little masculine, or maybe you like that they have a penis. But again, liking penises does not make you gay, and liking feminine in a male does not make you gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I don't think you need to worry about it. So that's all. You can like be into whatever you're into.
Okay. I have three things.
Okay.
Okay. So everyone likes butts. But my other thing is like, I like calves for some reason.
Calves?
If I see like someone with nice calves, like they're just like walking and then their calves flex, it's like, well, that's a nice calf.
We talked about this, right?
Yeah, we talked about
calves. The male implant, like one of the most common male implants is calves.
And calves. I don't
know. No, more common than penis is calves. And I feel like I used to, especially in West Hollywood.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I used to see some calves that seemed beyond genetic.
Damn. Man, I've seen some good calves.
Yeah, you gotta look at those soccer players.
Oh god. Yeah. No kidding.
Okay, you like calves.
Okay, calves. Okay. Second thing is it's been happening a lot this like kind of fake summer. It's not really summer yet here in Seattle. But the like androgynous, I don't know, these people who walk around with no boundaries. They're just like short-haired and skinny
and beautiful.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if you're a guy or a girl, but I like you.
You know, I am totally on that train.
Yeah,
I totally like that too. But I still feel like I prefer it to skew a little more masculine.
Oh, like how far? What do you mean?
No, like for girls, maybe dead center. I don't know. I like Even Girls a little more. Like, I had brunch at this place yesterday, uh-huh. and we joke because there's a woman who works there that looks exactly, I was telling Tawny, looked exactly like a Michelangelo painting.
Which is what, when
Michelangelo paints a woman, she basically just, he paints a hot dude and then bolt on breasts.
Oh, okay.
And that's how she looked. And so Tawny called her Michelangelo, uh-huh. which uh-huh. I thought was pretty wonderful. Uh-huh. But she's, I don't know, like the, I total dead center androgynous. I still prefer like a little tilt.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it enough. What's my third thing?
I think that was your third thing, because the casual was going to be the second.
No, I got it mixed up.
I messed you up.
Oh, the third thing is that when I imagine this person looking at like transgendered girls, I'm still extremely confused about what it means to be trans. I think because there's been like, because there's like transsexual and there's trans, I don't know. I never figured out as a kid. I don't care. You tell me what you are. That's fine. But in my head, I imagine like that person in La Tigra. Okay. Who has like, she's like a girl, I think she's a lesbian, but she's like, she's shaved so much that she started to grow out a mustache. And to me, that is the porn that this person watches.
No. I think you're on the wrong side.
That's a transgendered.
That's going the other way. Mm.
But they're not, they're still, they identify as girls, but they're just like this blur.
Yeah, but I think you're in this side, he's going the other way.
In my head, she's a she, and she's going, well, okay, whatever. Anyway.
Mario, do you want me to show you on Tumblr?
That's just where I went.
I bet if we...
I don't care what they look like.
I bet all we would have to do is go to, like, Tumblr and do, like,
it would be, like, it'd be everything. It'd be, like, what is this?
No, I think... I'm sure there is a clear definition. I think that it's
boys, dudes, people who are born
look,
as a boy.
Yeah, males that dress up, make up, everything... to look like females, but
the thing is, when they're saying transgendered girls, that confuses me, because if they identify as a girl, that makes them a girl. So it doesn't matter if they're. But are they saying this?
I don't know.
He's
talking
girl?
About super cutie and feminine. Here, okay, where there's no, where they'll have to clear it up. But to me, this reads as.
The last line is, it's confusing.
It is still confusing. No, to me, this is a dude who's looking at pictures of dudes. Dress, not even dressed, but like styled, make up, everything as girls, but that are probably, you know, they're still male. They'll still have these other things.
Okay, but the
and
other
I say
part...
that because that is what the porn is. Like, that is what is there.
Okay.
Like, you don't see it the other way.
I don't know. I don't care. Anyway, the other part is they don't know how to deal with being in a...
Yeah, people around
like
being jerks about
community.
It.
What do? You say maybe, hey, my friends are gay or whatever. That makes me uncomfortable, or just that makes me uncomfortable. I don't like this like hate speech. Can you guys?
That's
stop saying
man.
Gay?
Yeah, it's really hard, especially like it's so hard to know without like the vibe of where you're working. Because if it's,
but sometimes you just like need to hear it in your head, and you're like, oh, that sounds like I could do that.
Yeah,
sometimes you just don't think about
sure,
it.
Sure, maybe
worry.
Maybe not. And I think I don't know. You kind of have to have a feel for it based on where you are. Because if you're at an office, that's one thing.
Yeah,
where it's just. You know, straight up not appropriate and whatever. But if you're like working, like
yeah, it's awkward when you're
shoveling
have to see
tar
every day
or something. I don't know. It's just different. And I don't. It sounds like an environment you're not comfortable in. And maybe I don't know. This gets into crazy things like, do you want to work there and be around those people and all that stuff? But
I work in a place where LGBT people are ridiculed. That sounds like a horrible place to work.
What I don't know what else to say. Like, it sounds like you work with some jerks and it's not easy. So maybe just work on figuring out yourself first, but don't pressure yourself to have labels or anything. And then dealing with jerky people, I don't know. There's just jerks are jerks. And if you get fed up with it and you feel like you're in a position where you can say something and have it not like come bite you down the line, not like, you know.
Yeah, man.
Because I could see that like that could put you in a bad position. So
I don't know. I don't want you to not say anything.
I don't want you to not say anything either, but I also don't want you to put yourself in a position where you're like now tormented.
This person is tormented. They're tormented every day.
Dang like it, Mari, it's hard.
This
you gotta
cruelty and intolerance.
Stand up for him.
You need to be a regular MLK Jr.
You have to be, man. That's the new style.
You know
what?
Maybe you need like a t-shirt of some sort or a bumper sticker. Or like
you really
a mug.
You know, it's one of the most like succinct ways of putting it that I've seen was it was like a picture from a a race riot of people with like racist signs, and then a picture of people at like protesting a gay marriage. And the comment was just something super simple, like, think about how stupid you'll look in 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because sure. It's just the next thing.
Okay, but I mean, these people are not usually this kind of thing. It's not someone coming out against gay people, like this Twitter guy that's been harassing
them. No,
it's just like people are like, oh, that's so gay.
Yeah, but that's the same, you know, it's a milder symptom of the same.
It is.
Same problem. And so, but anyway, that's the fight that's today. That's like what the current fight is.
I like my bumper sticker, put a bumper sticker on a mug and then put a t-shirt around that.
Okay. What does the bumper sticker say?
Like a gift basket.
What does the bumper sticker say?
Bumper says, gay people are cool.
Okay.
You're stupid.
And what if it said like gay people are cool and cool people are gay?
Wow.
What if it said cool people are gay? Perfect.
People are gay. That's too much. That's weird.
Sorry.
Yeah, sure. That could work.
You know, it's tricky, but that's now, you know, that's the fight of our lives.
Yeah.
And that's what, when we look back with our kids at what mattered and what was happening, that's like the civil right right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not any different than civil rights of the 60s or women's suffrage or abolition of slavery or any other of these movements that have been awkward. At least this one has been, you know, somewhat less violent, but it's what, it's narrow people that don't want things to change. And sooner or later, the things will change without them. And there's still,
I hope so.
Well, it's going to happen. And regardless of the fact that there's still some people hanging on to that the South will rise again, like we've hopefully moved on from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, man.
I've heard someone was tweeting, what was it? It was like, it was like in quotes, you know, it's a character like, oh, the South is so racist and like segregated, like as I tweet from my like, I don't know, heteronormative, whatever, white suburbia, you know, something like that. It was more put together. Also, the thing you were saying about labels are scary. That's, you know.
Labels are scary for everybody, especially self-labels scare the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to not deal with them.
It helps, like, finding yourself sometimes, but, like, don't... Oh, man, we talked about this last time, like, that never say never thing. Wasn't it, like, asexual now.
So going back to, like, my search for meaning, there's a whole branch of psychology that's super interesting called archetypal psychology.
Okay.
And it's basically where you adopt a label, but maybe you don't even realize it, because in some ways it kind of adopts you. Like your life is suddenly dictated by that, whether you consciously. So on like an easy level is like the starving artist kind of thing.
Totally.
Like I want to be an artist. Oh, I have to starve. And that just feeds into itself. So you don't get a job or you do whatever. And like, you know, you make that into reality.
Kind of. Yeah, sure.
I'm not saying always, but like that totally happens to people. And there's so many, but anyway, there's infinity archetypes that you can adopt. And when you're not aware of it, you can really pigeonhole yourself and find yourself in some role that was given to you by someone else, or one that you took on not really understanding the full implications of it or whatever. Yeah. But it can also be helpful in life to like intentionally adopt an archetype to help you through something or whatever.
Right. Well, yeah, I struggle with the starving artist thing. Haha. But it's not like I'm trying to be hungry all the time. It sucks. Sometimes I don't have food on the table, you know?
No, and I struggle with it, just the creative person thing all the time. Like whether I'm, and that's another thing, rereading that first Rilke poem when he talks about how like in the middle of the night, in like the darkest hour, you need to stop and ask yourself, like truly, honestly, in the bottom of your soul, if you're writing because you have to write.
Right.
And if the answer is no, then don't like stop it. It's not worth it.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that somewhere too.
It was also, that also happened in Of Human Bondage. There's a part where the guy like goes to Paris. He's going to be a painter. Like he's super into it. And like an older painter comes to him and he says, I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to tell you what I wish someone had told me.
Okay.
You're pretty good, but you're not anything special.
Uh-huh.
You don't need, you could throw your whole life away at this like I did.
Yeah.
Or you could like
totally. Yeah.
Fold absolutely. Up and realize it. And then the guy left and he like went and became, he used those same skills and like became a commercial illustrator or something. And like,
oh, okay.
Gave up the Parisian art style and just went for a less glamorous version, but a more, appropriate version for his life. And so,
sure.
And, but I don't know. I ask myself that every day. Like, do I make things? Why do I do it? Because it's a pain in the butt and I don't.
Yeah, no, same here. Like, why do I make comics? Oh, because they make me feel good for some reason.
Because you have to, right?
Yeah.
That was a lot. Man, we've been talking for so long.
I think that's okay. I think I've covered a lot of shit.
We have. Man, is anyone listening? Is anyone helped out?
Is this on?
There?
Oh, you haven't been recording.
Is this thing on? It's not plugged in.
That'd be the worst.
Man, Mario, we've just... Is it because I haven't talked in so long? I had a lot to say, I feel like. I don't know if anyone was...
I don't know what it is either. I feel like I've had, I don't know, it's like this weird climate.
Still those hotties out there, I guess the...
I don't mean like climate. I don't know. Like a lot of the stuff we've been talking about, I think has been getting coverage on whatever, blogs, internet.
That could be true.
We're all we're all waking up somehow.
We did have some, like we had some secrets this week that weren't just all sexy secrets or whatever. We had a good... We love you guys.
Even that yellow fever guy. I appreciate you writing in.
Yeah. You guys are doing great.
Whatever.
No, we have one more secret, and this one is suspicious.
Yeah.
Mario, okay. You should just read it, then we'll talk about it.
I keep telling minor lies all the time. I just can't help it. I'm not hurting anybody because it's never something serious, and it would only hurt me if someone found out that I was lying about something, but still. And another thing that bugs me is that it's typical female behavior when I'm a dude. Sorry, ladies. That's not very nice. Don't say that. Don't say that. You don't have anything nice to say. Don't say it.
What else is strange about this? What else is strange about this particular email?
Okay, so the way that the emails work, they're like anonymous, but I mean, for whatever reason, Scott set up this thing where, which is a good idea. It tracks the IP. So, I mean, we don't know who you are, but we know that we have like a fingerprint, basically.
Yeah, we know. We know roughly where you are in the world,
yeah.
And we know like if one person's sending things in, and it can help us like identify feedback. But what's weird about this one is we noticed a strange trend that some of the emails we got seem to be coming from the same place.
Yeah, we get like a string all of a sudden,
which is fun. Which we've also had in the past. I feel like we, you know, sometimes people send in multiple emails or whatever.
Right.
But this one was even stranger because
here's our secret: we don't get a lot of emails.
We don't get a ton of emails, and it wasn't. Although it did take us a couple weeks to really piece it together.
This person has been contacting us for like months.
This person has had secrets on the show multiple times.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel a little used and abused. So anyway, here's what's strange about this, about this person who just said that they tell minor lies. And maybe there's some logical explanation, but it looks like we've gotten 20 different emails from this person.
Yeah.
And in sometimes they're from one country and sometimes they're from another.
They'll say like, oh, I'm from Spain.
Yeah. And sometimes they're 20 and sometimes they're 22.
Or 18.
And sometimes they're male and sometimes they're female.
Mm-hmm. And in one instance, they were people who were like, that knew each other.
Yeah, they were multiple. So I don't know. Maybe there's some explanation where weirdly they got the same IP. But man, it looks really suspicious. Yeah. And it's coming from France.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on in France. We don't, I mean, on the one hand, we appreciate, you know, if there's some diehard person that they're devoted to giving us secrets, but feeding us fake secrets, I feel like we may have read some fake secrets on the show and then gotten feedback from fake secrets. Right. I don't know what it is.
But for some reason they felt real, or I don't really remember.
You fooled us, but we noticed some unconventional spelling and some inconsistencies like spaces before exclamation point. Yeah. Mario pieced it together like a detective.
We're on to you, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess thank you for being enthusiastic about our show, but we would really prefer true secrets.
Yeah.
And if there's some explanation or anybody doesn't, if you know what we're talking about, we would listen to it, but we would probably think you're lying.
Yeah. Yeah, this is exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah, they just lie.
This is the secret teller who cried wolf.
They can return to the scene of the crime to lie some more.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Mario. Okay, that was it. That was our 10 secrets, even though somehow I screwed it up. And now we have a tiny bit of feedback.
Okay. Am I reading this?
Yeah, sure.
I wasn't planning on going to art school just for the ladies. Drawing is rad. Sincerely, Phil from Nigeria.
So we had the person write in that was wondering if art school girls were all hotties. We talked about art school girls probably in a somewhat unfair way.
Did we? I don't know.
Well, we kind of like implied that they would fall into very specific categories. And then we couldn't really think of the male version. And then later I was walking around in Portland and I suddenly realized like what the male version was. And then totally, I don't remember it all, but rest assured that it's not just art school girls that are like that, but that the art school boys are just as bad. It just happens to be that Mari and I thought a lot about girls while in art school.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. But
there's definitely stereotypes, I think, on any school campus.
Yeah, and people sometimes just, they're just real.
Yeah.
Sometimes
that's,
it's just
that's fine. I'm the token Asian kid, I guess.
Yeah, you are.
Whatever.
And one other one, and this one I thought was important, maybe a little PSA from the other side of the gender divide that we may not always get a say on the show.
Last episode. Just wanted to remind everyone that sex for the first time is extremely painful for those who have vaginas. You will bleed. You will cry. But to the secret from the previous episode, tell your boyfriend to be gentle at first. It gets better after a few times.
So, yeah, I feel like we've talked a lot. You know, we've talked to a number of people that were virgins and worried about it for the first time and all that. So, yes, the first time can be difficult, not only from awkwardness, but also from pain, from things tearing in you. So,
in my head, I mean, I'm not like, oh, that's not what I heard. But in my head, I was like, oh, I heard that sometimes it doesn't hurt. I don't know.
I think it's different for different people, or the amount it hurts. I think there's lots of different factors that can decide what happens, but just a little reminder out there. So maybe just be prepared for it. Don't be terrified, please. But
yeah, man.
Maybe just be aware that it might not be super pleasant the first time.
Word.
That is it. Mari, that was a very long, strange, meandering episode.
Yeah, I'm like 2 hours late for this party.
Does anyone listen to the show?
Yeah, well, we have like this one person who sends in all these secrets.
Do you think, wouldn't it be weird? You know, one of my favorite psychological disorders is the Fragile delusion, where you think that everyone around you is really just one person in disguise trying to antagonize you.
Right.
And I love it. So do you think that maybe our entire show, it's always just been one person?
No,
I don't. And that they're usually better at covering their tracks?
No.
I don't believe that either. For those few of you that do still listen, thank you for listening. If you have any secrets to send, please send them. Please don't lie to us. We like it when you tell the truth. And also, hopefully, take a cue from this episode. And they don't have to be sexy, and they don't have to be weird, and they don't have to be funny. Just if you have a secret, we send it in and we'll talk about it.
Piss and tell.
Piss and tell is another thing you can do. Yeah. What does that even mean?
Well, we got that pee secret. We like that one.
We got a pee secret. I liked it. Anyway. And we got the water sports one. So we got double. So I guess that's all. You can do the Twitter thing at Kiss and Tellcast. You can go to the website, kissandtellcast.com/tell is where you can send us secrets. Last time I asked if you would please tweet with the Kiss and Tellcast hashtag. And for the one of you that did, I really appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
People just don't do things that I say, Murray. No one cares what I say. So just do whatever you want. Don't listen to us. We would love it if you would listen to the show and maybe show some other people and send secrets and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I have no idea when there'll be another show because I'm leaving forever pretty soon. But
when are you leaving?
I don't know. I'm flying to Amarillo.
On the 27th.
We could record another one next week if anyone sent any secrets.
What's next? I'm going to be in California.
Are you really?
20th, I think. I don't remember when I'm about to. God, I have to finish so much stuff before I go.
So this might be the last show ever, everybody.
Could be.
Could be.
I don't know.
Thanks for listening. You guys are lovely, and we will maybe never talk to you ever again. Bye. You didn't say bye.
Bye. I want to tell you.